Let's turn together in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read the verses 1 through 10. This is the Word of God. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So far, from the Holy Word of God. I invite you to turn with me as well now to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 21. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 21, found on page 27 in the back of our Psalter hymnals. And we hear questions and answers with regard to the summary of the Bible's teaching on the ministry of the church itself, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, as follows. What do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? I believe that the Son of God, through his Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community I am and always will be a living member. What do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that believers, one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and in all his treasures and gifts. Second, that each member should consider it his duty to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. What do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? I believe that God, because of Christ's atonement, will never hold against me any of my sins, nor my sinful nature, which I need to struggle against all my life. Rather, in his grace, God grants me the righteousness of Christ to free me forever from judgment. So far, our reading from our catechism, a summary of the Bible's teaching. Your congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ seems to be an emphasis today on the importance of being special. Everybody wants to be special. Everybody wants to come in for some sort of recognition of one form or another, to the point that we have it many times in school settings, perhaps public school settings, where everybody needs to get a ribbon because everybody needs to be special. It sort of begs the question, if everybody gets a ribbon, what's so special about that? People want to be special, of course. They want to be known. They want to be appreciated. They want to be set apart as being different than the rest. And my question to us this afternoon is, what makes you so special? Of course, we may be hesitant in giving answer to a question like that because we recognize, even from the way I framed the opening words of the sermon, there are sinful and selfish ways of seeking that kind of distinctiveness, that kind of specialness. But I want to have us appreciate that the special privilege that is ours, and it is ours together, in that sense we might say we all get a ribbon, we have this particular blessing in the Lord's goodness that we are the Lord's own special people. And I wonder, when I asked you the question, what makes you so special, if it immediately came to your mind, perhaps you've already been looking ahead in terms of the points on the bulletin or the sermon title, if you were thinking about the church, if you were thinking of how special it is, how privileged we are to be members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would acknowledge and confess that that's not always at the forefront of my mind, as it should be. And I would suspect that that's probably the case with many of us here. But I want us to appreciate from the Word of God the glory, the privilege, the blessing that is ours as the Lord's own special people, as a privilege that we share in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us never to forget how gloriously special that is. Now, as we think about these things together this afternoon, that we are the Lord's own special people, that we are, as the Bible might say, those who've received particular privileges in terms of the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. We are the apple of His eye. We are His own treasured possession. We're picking up on the language summarized in Lord's Day 21 of the Catechism, but also given particularly in 1 Peter 2, the verses 9 and 10. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Where we acknowledge as well, once you were not a people, verse 10, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. That's a gloriously privileged position to be in. As we make our way through the study of what it is that we are God's own special people, I want us to try to keep in mind that this is to be considered from the perspective, first of all, of privilege, and then secondarily, because of the privilege, in the way of obligation. Privilege, then obligation. It is a glorious privilege to be God's own special people. But it comes, therefore, with duties, with responsibilities, with obligations. So privilege and obligation, gift and calling. We want to rejoice in the gift that God gives us. We want to live as those who are deeply grateful and reflect that in lives of thankfulness to God, in our obligations, in our calling before Him. So I preach to you the blessing that is ours, that we are His own special people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have these three considerations to look at together this afternoon. And again, the points this afternoon line up with the summary of the Bible's teaching in the respective questions and answers of the Catechism Lord's Day that's open before us, Lord's Day 21. So with regard to question and answer 54, what do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? We have as our first point that we are to be amazed by the glory of our membership. Amazed by the glory of our membership. And then when we look at question and answer 55, what do you understand by the communion of saints? We are alive with grace for ministry. And in the third place, looking at question and answer 56, what do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? We are abounding in the gospel, or with the gospel as our message. In the first place, we are to be amazed by the glory of our membership. Question and answer 54 in Lord's Day 21. The last line in answer 54 is this: of this community, I am and always will be a living member. That's a glorious confession to be able to make. That's an astounding thing to be able to say. We're speaking of God's people, His own special people, His prized possession, the apple of His eye. And we say of this community, chosen for eternal life, from before the foundation of the world, from the beginning of history to its end, from out of every tribe, people, and nation of this community, I am and always will be a living member. There's a sense of awe there. There's a sense of amazement that we may make such a confession. Of course, the challenge for us is to be able to make such a confession. We are, of course, mindful of the fact that though the Catechism says these words and teaches these words to us and beckons us to take these words as our own and to make them our own confession, it is not so just because a person can read these words or even memorize these words. We ask ourselves the question, is it so that I am a living member of this community and that I will always be such? Now, my intention here in terms of asking that question is not to get us turned inward on ourselves and not to leave us in doubting wonderment in terms of becoming what we might call morbid introspectionists. That is, people whose eyes are turned inward, whereas we need to have our eyes turned outward. Rather than looking inward for something to be encouraged about with regard to ourselves, we need to be looking outward to the Lord Jesus Christ, even as we saw this morning in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Look to Jesus. The Catechism speaks with very, very confident language. Language of rich assurance that we are called to take upon our lips, that we're called to embrace as our own, as words of faith. But don't forget, a catechism is a confession of faith. These are words of believers. That is to say, that if you're not believing, then these words are not for you at the moment. When you believe, you may say with rich and joyful confidence, of this community I am and always will be a living member. There's a danger, of course, that we see that, you know, well, what's required for me to be able to say something like this is to belong to a church that teaches this, to come to church every Sunday. I belong to the covenant. I was baptized as a little baby. And many times people see the covenant as a box to find yourself in rather than a relationship to rejoice in, a relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. So just wanted to have that clear at the beginning, this language, I am and always will be a living member of this community, is the language of faith. Language we're called to use as our own as we are looking unto Jesus and trusting Him. And then we can indeed be encouraged in terms of the blessing that is promised us. It's language, of course, that's reflected in the language of 1 Peter chapter 2. We were not a people, but now we are the people. Verse 10. We had not known mercy, now we've known mercy. And it's God's amazing work. If you look at answer 54, you see that the answer that we give with regard to the Holy Catholic Church, from the beginning of the world to its end, focuses on Jesus Christ. It's the Son of God who is gathering, defending, preserving for Himself a people chosen for eternal life. And He does so by His Word and His Spirit. It is the work of God. It's the same thing that we see in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, His own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of Him who called you. Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are the called out ones. We were in darkness. We, by nature, were as thick in the darkness as the most depraved person you might imagine on the street or in the slums. We were no different. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the church, as we see here, is to be understood as the ones who are the called out ones. That's the language of the Bible with regard to the church, both in the Old Testament and in the New. The words in the Old Testament and the New, in the Hebrew and in the Greek, speak primarily of those who are the called out ones, who are also, and again we have words in the Hebrew and the Greek, who then the called together ones. The called out ones, the called together ones. Those are the words that the Bible uses with regard to the church. So, the Greek words in particular, ekklesia, we have ecclesiastical. We just spent a week at an ecclesiastical assembly, a synod. So ecclesiastical, ekklesia, those are the called out ones. You are called out of darkness, but you are also the called together ones. And the word there in the Greek is the synagoge, the synagogue, right? The called together ones. And both of those aspects are true. And all of that work is not our work. It's not something we did. It's not something we were smart enough to put together. It's God's work. It's God's grace. It's He who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I think it's helpful as well to appreciate that the Greek has a word, it's kuriakos. You know the kurios, the word kurios? Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. Kurios is Lord. Kuriakos is belonging to the Lord. And from that word, kuriakos, belonging to the Lord, through the ages, from that Greek, we might say you hear it in the German, Kirche, or in the Scottish, Kirk, or in Dutch, Kerk, or even Frisian, if I might, Kierke. All those words, church, they all have the same root, meaning belonging to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. That's the privilege of membership that's ours, and it's all by His amazing grace, the amazing grace of our God. And we're to be amazed by the blessing of membership in the church. And how is it that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought us into His fellowship? Well, the Catechism says the Lord Jesus Christ, He does it by His Spirit and His Word. By His Spirit and His Word. I'll just show you in terms of the context in 1 Peter. How was it that we were born again? 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. Or as the flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. How does Jesus, by His Spirit, bring us to faith? He does so by the word of God. And that's very significant for us as we rejoice, as we glory in the membership we enjoy, that we are living members of the church. We rejoice. God has done this. God has called us to Himself, and He's done it with the Word. He's shown us our sin. He's held out before us the Savior, and He's called us into fellowship with Himself through the Word that was preached to you. Now, we recognize as well, we're focusing on a line in the Apostles' Creed and a similar line in the Nicene Creed, as we've used that this afternoon, and what we believe about the Holy Catholic Church. The Holy Catholic Church. Some people stumble over that language because sometimes it's easy to become confused about what is called the Roman Catholic Church. Now, if you understand what the word Catholic means, again, I apologize for the little references to Greek here this afternoon. I don't typically do that, but kata means according to, holos, according to the whole, Catholic. It's the whole. And so in the language that we see here, it's from the beginning of the world. It's all of history. It's all nations. It's the whole Bible. It's the whole truth. And so when a church called itself the Roman Catholic Church, we might say there's something that is oxymoronic about that. It's Roman and it's Catholic, but that doesn't quite seem right. And we believe the Holy Catholic Church is comprised of all of those who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, the ones He has called out of darkness into His marvelous light, and we're part of that glorious work. We ought never to forget that. We ought to appreciate, therefore, that God's work, His all of history engaging work from all nations, is something that we're involved in, not because of our ethnic background, but because of His amazing grace. It's a blessing to be able to see people of every tribe and nation gathering together in one place, because that's what the Catholic nature of the church is. It's wonderful to see that come to expression by the grace of God. It's not because of our heritage. It's because of the grace of God. We ought never to forget that. When we rejoice in the grace of God, then we may know that it is such a blessing to say, I'm a member of this body and I always will be. Why am I always going to be a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because He's faithful. Because when He begins a work, He brings it to completion. Because He's gracious and loving and He'll never let us go. So we've been focusing on the privilege that is ours, that we've been brought into fellowship with God. I want to focus, before I complete this first point this morning, afternoon, on our obligation. The obligation that flows from it. We've spoken on gift. We were called to focus as well on calling. If it's a blessing that I am and always will be a member, a living member of the church, I have an obligation to be a member. If God's blessing of calling us out and calling us together is what the church is all about, then the importance of gathering together is something I must never forget. Let us not forsake the assembling together, Hebrews 10, verse 25, as is the manner of some. It's easy to say, you know, I love Jesus, it's the church I have trouble with, but it's ungodly. Jesus gathers us together into the church, into the body, into the bride whom He loves. And someone who says, I love Jesus, but I hate the church, is confused, to say the very least. We are responsible to be gathered, and all the more as we see the day approaching. We're responsible to be gathered as well. In the language of Lord's Day 21, in the unity of the true faith. In the unity of the true faith. Here we see this community is united in true faith. The more precise language of the Catechism, as you might see in other translations, earlier translations, in the unity of the true faith. So the unity is not simply a sort of a feeling that we have, but it's a unity in the true faith. That's an objective thing, and not first of all a subjective feeling. I'm thinking of what Jude says in Jude verse 3, that we are to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And that's what we have here in the Bible. So when we think of the blessing of membership, that God has called us together, we acknowledge we have an obligation to be gathered together, but not just gathered together willy-nilly, but gathered together in the unity of the true faith. That is, we ought to belong to a church that is faithful to the Word of God, to a true church. Well, we're careful. We need to be careful and say, not have sort of an arrogant approach that we're the true church and nobody else is. That's not the point. That's never been the point of our confessions. But our confessions do require that we have an earnest desire to say that we are being true, we are being faithful to the Word, and that that's significant. And when we live in a day and age where people simply get it in their minds and in their hearts to say, I don't like this church, I'm going to find another. A church that's a little more comfortable for me. We have to remind ourselves, how is it that we are called to be gathering together? We're called to be gathering together in the unity of the true faith. How can you expect that God will bless you and your children after you unless the Word, the true faith, is being opened? It's the means by which Christ, with His Spirit, is gathering His people together. And it's important for us never to forget that. So we have an obligation to be members. We have an obligation to the truth, to be members of a faithful church that holds fast to the Word of God. And we have an obligation to be living members. Not bench warmers, not mere pew sitters, but living members of the church. And that takes us into our second consideration this afternoon as we come to question and answer 55 of the Catechism. What do you understand by the communion of saints? Our second point is that the blessing of being alive with grace for ministry. Alive in Jesus Christ. Remind ourselves of the answer again. First, that believers, one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and in all His treasures and gifts. Everything that's Christ's is ours. And we have this blessing together in Christ. Again, the emphasis needs to be on Christ. So we want to focus on the blessing and the privilege of ministry. Ministry means living as servants for one another. And where have we learned that? Where have we picked up on that? Where does that come from? It comes from our ministering Savior, the Lord Jesus, who told us in Matthew 20, verse 28, I have come not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. He came not to be served, but to serve. He came to minister. He came to minister is to serve. And that's what Jesus came to do. And that's a blessing now in the Lord Jesus Christ, in all that He's accomplished, and all that He is, and all that flows from Him, and all of His benefits and gifts. It's all ours. We share in these things as we live in communion with Christ. And because we have communion with Christ, we have communion with one another, because we can say of one another, the blessing that you have come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have come to know too. We share in Christ. And so it's not the color of our skin. It's not the nation that we might have hailed from. It's not our socioeconomic status, how much money we have or don't have. It's Christ who knits us together. We share in Him. And He has ministered unto us everything. He gave His all for us. That's the privilege that's ours. And as we think on the privileges of belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ, something that we share together, you do well. We do well as God's people to sit back sometimes and count our blessings. Count the blessings you enjoy as the Hope Reformed Church of Brampton. You may have your discouragements, you may have your disappointments, you may have your frustrations. But you count your blessings in terms of the privileges that are yours together in Jesus Christ. We ought to do that. Focus on the privileges of what we have in Him. For a church to be church of the Lord Jesus Christ takes a ministering spirit among all of God's people. Somebody had to set these chairs up for this worship service today. Bring this pulpit out here. The table and the font. Somebody had to do all of that work. Somebody had to print the bulletin. Somebody had to make sure that somebody was going to be here. Someone's playing the piano for us. We have elders and deacons the Lord has given to us who watch out for our souls. This is the gracious work of Jesus Christ in our midst. We got to rejoice that we may be part of that in communion with Jesus. So focus on the privileges, the gifts the Lord has given you. And don't forget to acknowledge them, to thank God for them, and to thank one another for them as you seek to be engaged. So as we think on the privileges, as we said, there's privilege, there's obligation, there's gift, there's calling. Then we think of the blessing of the communion of saints that we have. You know, when somebody is struggling, when somebody has died, when somebody has difficulties in their lives, there's a blessing in terms of coming alongside of each other. We rejoice in that. And now we have an obligation to be part of that, to be those who are taking the lead in that, those who are taking up our place as part of that, not, again, simply as bench warmers or pew sitters, but as those who are living members of the church. So as the catechism goes on, each member should consider it his duty, his bounden duty, to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the service. Again, service for ministry, enrichment of the other members. We've learned from the Spirit, from the style of Jesus, who didn't come to be served, but to serve. And we ought to have something of that style, the mind of Christ. Let this mind, Philippians 2, verse 5, be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. What is that? It's the mind that learns to count others better than ourselves, to look out not only for our own interests, but for the interests of others. If I may paraphrase, to make this point, a former president of the United States, we may learn to ask the question, it's not to ask, what can my church do for me, but what can I do for my church? How can I help? How can I serve you? How can I minister to you? What can I do? How can I help? That's to have the Spirit of Christ, to have the mind of Christ. That's to be alive as living members with grace for ministry. I want to move to the last question and answer of this Lord's Day into our third point this afternoon. When we ask the question, what do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? Our point is that we are those who are abounding in the gospel as our message. We've got a message to speak. And we've seen every step of the way that the language of 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, that we are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. It's for a purpose. It's that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the privilege is you are a special treasure to God. But it's so that you may proclaim his praises, so that you may take up the message. And what's the message? We would say, well, the message is that it's contained in question and answer 56, the message of the forgiveness of sins. The message of peace with God in Jesus Christ. It's been remarked through the years of those who've been working their way through the teaching of this catechism. You see, you recognize, boys and girls, that in these three questions and answers here, we're going through line by line phrases in the Apostles' Creed, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. And it's been remarked that it's a stroke of genius, really, that we have all of these three placed together under one Lord's Day that we're going to consider on one Sunday afternoon sermon, because it's very important for us never to forget the forgiveness of sins in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's at the heart of our message. And it's important for us, as we've made a glorious confession about a holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints to be reminded in the next breath of the forgiveness of sins. Because I suspect that when I spoke to you this afternoon about the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints and challenged you with regard to being thankful for what you have, that your mind perhaps also went to the ways in which either you yourself or others have fallen short. Perhaps others. You know, why aren't they doing something about all of this? It's a stroke of genius that in the midst of a confession that is glorious, a confession that makes us mindful of the fact that we fall short of the things we confess, we're put in mind again of the fact, the forgiveness of sins. In the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we still need the forgiveness of sins. Maybe sometimes more amongst ourselves than any other place. Perhaps because we have such high expectations of each other as those who've been brought into fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, when we sin against each other, it hurts especially much. But I believe the forgiveness of sins. And that's our lasting message. That's our ongoing responsibility as well. So as we rejoice in the privilege, we still minister the forgiveness of sins. We're still those whose message is to the world. We are ambassadors for Christ, be reconciled to God. We're still those who need to work that out in our own relationships as husbands and wives, as parents with their children, fathers with their sons and with their daughters. And as believers, one with the other. Are there things we need to forgive? Are there things we need to get over? Are there things we need to get past? I believe the forgiveness of sins. It's helpful that we're asked to take that upon our lips every Sunday again. Do you believe it? Do you do it? Privilege and obligation, gift and calling. Are you engaged in the ministry of forgiveness? Are we those who forgive even as we've been forgiven? Are we those who can never get over the joy that's sort of expressed for us here, that it sort of exudes from the answer as it summarizes the Scriptures, answer 56. I believe that God, because of Christ's atonement, will never hold against me any of my sins, nor my sinful nature, which I need to struggle against all my life. God will never hold it against me. And why won't He? It's because of Christ's blood. Because of Christ's blood, I'm forgiven. And because of Christ's blood, we who are forgiven can be forgiving amongst each other. The struggle's ongoing. But the blessing of forgiveness is one that we may continue to hold out to each other. And then to the world. So when I know that it's because of Christ's blood that I have peace with God, that things are well with my soul, then I may have the courage as well, if a brother or sister is struggling with sin, to come alongside and minister graciously and compassionately. I too was once not a people. I too had once not known mercy. But now I know the mercy of God. And I can be merciful in my ministering to others. Even if we have to challenge each other at times, we can do so mercifully. We can do so in ways that point to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are a special people, a special treasure, so that we may proclaim His praises, so that we may tell the world, so that we may take this message of forgiveness into the streets, into the workplace, into the lives of those we meet. That's our message. The message of God's glorious grace calling people out of darkness into His marvelous light, into His fellowship, called out of the world, into fellowship together as a body. May God give us to see and to appreciate just how rich we are as His own special people. What do you have that you have not received? You didn't give it to yourself. It's not because of your accomplishments, but it's because of His amazing grace. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, loving and gracious Father, we thank You for Your wondrous grace. We thank You for the work of Jesus Christ by His Spirit and Word to call us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. We've been called out of the world, from out of our sinfulness, into the church, into fellowship with You through Jesus. We pray, Father, that You would help us to be in awe. Help us to be amazed that of this communion, of this community, we are living members and always will be. Grant, O Lord, that every one of us would be able to say that by grace through faith as we take hold of the Lord Jesus. And grant that we would, in this blessing, be more and more like Jesus as ministering servants, desiring for the good of the church, the glory of Your name, to be a blessing, to be helpful, to do our part, to use the gifts that You've given us for the service and the enrichment of one another. And help us to be glad in the message of the gospel, the message of forgiveness in Jesus Christ, that we continue to need for ourselves, that we continue to need in our relationships with each other, that we might also, in the joy of being Yours, be eager to tell it to all those around us. Bless our message. Bless our ministry. Bless us for the glory of Your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.